yeah, there's a lot of fun dice games out there, and I like our little scenario that we just did.
So
it's got some tweaks.
So we lucked out this month because we got to play two.
We did get to play two
in
games.
1 month.
Yay!
In
1 month.
But
thank you, my beautiful wife.
Right? Thank them both.
Yes.
They were fun.
They were fun.
So the first one we did was the Dread Ball turned into a Dead Zone game, mm-hmm. which I think the biggest thing for me was realizing how much the scatter train made such a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
There weren't clear line of sights anywhere.
No.
And I loved it.
It was great. You know, we'll probably get into that. The other scenario we just actually finished playing today was more of like a train heist kind of thing, which has its own unique little flavor to it. And but yeah, so this is Dead Zone the podcast with Brian and Rick.
And Rick and Brian.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
Social media.
Well, welcome back to the shortest cold open the show's ever had. So,
well, to be fair, we were like talking quite a bit.
Yeah,
we were like, oh yeah, we should probably do the podcast.
We should probably record. So yeah, so let's start by talking about a little bit about our scenario. So,
sure.
We'll be releasing at least the first one, the Dreadball one, with this podcast.
Yeah.
The other one, we're going to do a little bit of tweaking yet, but we'll release that and then probably in the next episode. But so like we were saying, we played a match where essentially in the center of the map was a Dreadball pitch. We actually took the version one Dreadball mat.
And cut it down.
And cut it down a little bit.
Trimmed it down to fit on a Dead Zone board. And I took just a black marker and drew in the lines.
Yep.
And then we set it up with Uncertain Scenery.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple new pieces from Craig throw it up on there. Yep. And then some Isolation Protocol scenery as well.
Yep.
Plus some Dead Zone scenery.
Yeah.
Threw the whole gamut at it. I thought it was really cool because it kind of had that play in the hangar of a ship or mm-hmm. play in an abandoned warehouse, kind of like in Last Hurrah.
Yep, yep.
So you have this game going on, and it was my 29ers.
Yep.
Versus your, what was it?
You
weren't playing the Rebs. You were playing.
I had the, did I have the Khaleesi? No, I did have the Rebs.
You did play the Rebs.
I had the Rebs Dreadball team.
Yeah. So in the middle of this game, the game's going on, the score is going back and forth, and all of a sudden, boom, obviously with the roll of the dice,
yep,
the Dead Zone game stops and is completely interrupted.
The Dreadball game
Dreadball
stops.
Game, sorry. Well, you know, you're the Dreadball guy.
Yeah. So the Dreadball game stops and is interrupted by a Dead Zone match.
So there's a couple explosions,
mm-hmm.
And the ceiling comes crashing down. So all of a sudden you have all this scatter train all over the Dread.
Yeah.
And knock down players.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And in break in with the plague.
Mm-hmm.
So my objective was to kill as many people as I possibly could. Many players.
Yes.
I was specifically going for the Dreadball players.
You're attacking the Dreadball players.
And it was the Rebs that showed up to defend.
Yep. They were in town to cheer on their team. And you know, when all heck broke loose, their job was to run out there, collect the players, and bring them back off the pitch via their deployment zone.
Yep.
So it was a
crazy
blast. It was great because we treated it where the Dreadball players, not only do they count as friendlies for my team,
yeah,
both in their own melee combats and everything like that, they also counted as friendlies in shooting,
yeah.
So I couldn't really shoot into cubes that he was in, and he had trouble fighting the Dremel players that were tough. There. We I think we gave them resilience one, like the Dreadball players. They're not, we didn't want them too tough. We originally gave them like evade and stuff like that. Yeah,
they had evade. When we first started playing, we're like, oh, we'll just give them evade. And then it was the realization that it was like, wait, these guys are way too tough for that.
Yeah. And so there was some tweaking that went on, but at the end of it, I mean, like that scenario itself was so much fun.
Yeah, it sure was. Well, sure it was fun for you. Rebs won. Whatever.
But it was, I mean, it was close.
The way the game played was so exciting.
Yes.
Like, it had that Dreadball excitement to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, when you're in that 10th through the 14th pitch, you're going, oh, I need to do this.
I need to get these guys off the pitch before they get killed.
And it felt like that, too. And it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite parts about it, though, was our tie-in.
Yeah.
The tie-in to the next match, which is the one that we played today as of recording this.
Yep.
And it was, yes, the Rebs won, but the Plague didn't care. It was just a distraction.
It was all a distraction, a diversion to get the GCPS to leave a cargo freight train a little less defended, so that they could make a break for some old Simmons research that was locked down and getting carted away to a black site where it would never see the light of day again.
Yeah, right.
So in that scenario, so this is the third one we've got going. Basically there's down the middle kind of represents it's a two cube wide.
Train.
Yep, is the train where all this freight is on. And so that was actually the defender's deployment zone. And then the attackers are on either side, have the whole length to deploy upon. And so basically within the train, there was four objectives that could be collected. And the defenders had about 25 points less.
We were running 150 points, and my Plague were running 175 points.
Yeah.
So as we were going, I think the funny part was when we realized at the end, we're looking at how many victory points either of us could have actually physically scored. Mm-hmm. It was like, oops.
Oops.
Because, well, I did bring eight zombies.
Yeah, so the Plague had quite a number of models on the board, and a lot of them were zero victory points.
Zero victory points.
So we have made an adjustment to kind of help balance that out, just to get it a little closer, because in a scenario like that, where the goal is still the victory points, there needs to be something for that both players.
Even, yeah.
Than just killing each other outright, which is still a fun time.
Yeah, it was. It was fun because it had almost that Star Saga feel to it once I got onto the train. Because everything was inside.
Yeah.
I mean, there was definitely some shots taken outside
mm-hmm.
and outside in.
Yeah.
But like it mattered what was going on the inside.
It had that great Flagberg gravity that pulled everything to the center.
Yeah.
But like not in a congested, focused, like one spot. It was spread because it was spread out.
Yeah.
It made it so that you could have, you know, you got big slugfest going on this side, but you have a shootout going on at the other end. And it just made for a really dynamic attacker defender kind of scenario.
And Wrath is broken and disgusting.
Wrath
that was so ridiculous. Wrath,
so to balance out my GCPS, I didn't bring a mech, which is what I usually do. I didn't bring indirect. I brought some heavy machine gun for a weapons team, and then I brought Wrath to kind of help out with the melee because I knew I was going to get into melee. I needed something, and GCPS kind of is lacking on a melee-centric unit, which I think that would be a kind of neat thing to have. Is like I don't want to use commando because Marauders have commandos.
Yes.
But like some kind of special forces.
Like a SEAL team kind of thing.
Yeah, that is more melee, sneaky melee focus. I think could be a really neat unit to have.
It would end up being probably the Pathfinder.
Yeah.
How the Pathfinders are set up for the Enforcers.
Exactly. Exactly.
The GCPS could really.
Mm-hmm.
But they just need to bring Wrath.
In the meantime, you can just bring Wrath. His range 3 fire, it burns weapon, really did a number on the zombies.
Wiped out the zombies quite quickly, because, well, I mean, it's zombies, so I played him as Horde, and I put 4 in a cube.
Yep, and I shot both cubes over the course of the
all of my zombies are on fire, and I think two
survived.
I think it was two out of eight that survived.
Two out of eight survived just that part, and I think one of them ran into... the Overwatch special ability for the GCPS, which rarely gets...
definitely didn't remind you of the second one.
No, that one was on me. I missed an opportunity to use it a second time on the same guy, I think.
Yeah, it was.
In my brain, he was facing the wrong way, so he didn't take you after you. But all that said, all the gushing aside, like this was another really fun
match. It was a fun way to play. And of course, the whole thing against all three of these missions has been that attacker defender style of play versus the you're over there, I'm over here, these are objectives, that's the game.
Yeah.
Which I think adds a much more story driven way of playing. Because I know for both of us right now, with how we're playing, the stories are just rolling in our heads.
Right.
I just wish I had the words to be able to write this stuff down.
but yeah, it has kind of that extra cinematic flavor to it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It there's that part of me that's like, it's too bad it wouldn't work in a tournament setting. Like, too many people would be mad that it wasn't balanced.
Yeah.
But, oh man, could you imagine the Dreadball event being the final mission?
That would be nuts.
But people would be mad.
Yeah.
is the problem there. So, anyway, I think this is great for your local game group.
Yes.
These are, you can do them as one-offs, we are setting them all up as a campaign that we're going to package all together, by the end of this, you know, before the end of the year, for sure. Probably by the summer.
Because we'll have it out. I think we're probably going to do.
Yep. We've got one more on the docket as of right now. And I think we'll be kind of weaving in just some little extra tidbits to make the campaign component where things do kind of truly carry over from one scene to the other.
In the whole, I mean, for us, we've been playing, like, you've been bouncing back and forth between us and Rebs.
And Enforcers.
The entire time.
Yeah, you played.
Oh, yeah, the Enforcers.
Yeah.
Because
I just finished painting them. I'm like, well, I guess I'm playing these guys. But
no. Enforcers, Rebs, GCPS. Huh.
Yeah, it's been a fun smorgasbord of forces that you've been fighting against.
Yes.
And I enjoy fighting Plague. I'm finally painting up my own, so.
Yep.
So those have been two scenarios. And like I said, we're going to roll out one with this episode. It'll be the Dreadball one, which you can do. We've included rules to play if you had a nice long afternoon to play these games together. You could do a legit Dreadball game into this. We've got some niceties that join those two.
Yeah.
But there's also the option if you just wanted to kind of have that flavor of a scenario. We've got rules to like how to scatter the Dreadball players and all that kind of fun stuff. I mean, you don't even need the Dreadball pitch as much as you just designate that's the four lanes in the center.
I think it was more part of the reason why we used the pitch.
Oh yeah, like it's a fun
awesome
addition
having a Dreadball pitch on the Dead Zone map.
So if you don't want to take a Sharpie to your Dreadball board, there are ways to play it.
Yeah, don't kill me, Jeff. It was first edition.
It was first edition, which you can usually get on eBay pretty cheap these days.
Hey everybody, this is John Jack from Crippled Fox Gaming, and you are listening to the lovely and talented Rick and Brian on Dead Zone, the podcast.
But yeah, so I know we started with a big chunk of stuff that we've been working on, but we have a heck of a docket to work through today.
Yeah, we need to get through quite a lot.
As a recap, in case you missed it, we did have a kind of mini episode. We did an interview with our good buddy John Jack. From Crippled Fox Games, and boy was that a hoot! It's so much fun.
It's always fun to talk to John.
Yeah, and our interviews have just been fun in general. Yes. In my opinion. I hope they're fun to listen to. But let us know in the comments if it's like, man, I hate when you guys talk to other people. So one of the other things since the last time we recorded,
yeah,
which would have been kind of mid-December, honestly.
Mid-December, just before.
So a lot of things have happened since then, yes, actually. So with that, we had a whole slew of Mantic blogs that, yep, came out talking about all the stuff they got planned for the next year. So this was
new models.
This is on top books. Of, yep, on top of stuff they already covered during Mantic Day, which was just a month before that.
Yeah.
It's ironic. We were like, oh, it was a month. We're always recording right before they have their big announcement. Right before
they have a big announcement, we record.
And then we recap after the fact.
Yeah.
For Dead Zone, we did have some new minis that were showcased. They had some more artificers. More artificers on the way. They had a nice Dr. Octagonopus, yep, looking one. I mean, they're looking so cool.
They really are.
But also the mention of the mini command protocols.
Yes.
Now, they kind of mentioned, I think, a big part because there haven't been as many tournaments, they haven't been able to really get a feel for what the balance is currently, yeah, like. And that's just kind of that just happens.
Yep.
It's better for them to have data when they make adjustments than not. Because
they can have mess ups.
Yeah, those guys, they're just so, yeah, they're so terrible and powerful.
That's going to get me a lot of flack on the podcast.
Yeah. You guys come to listen to what we had to say, right?
Yeah.
But with the mini command protocol, so not only is it going to be the artificers, yep, and we're going to be seeing some new Veermen come into play. But
yeah, the Veermen from Vanguard.
There was another announcement, which was that the Maison Labs are going to be getting cyborgs.
Yes.
Which
I can't wait.
It's so cool. Like they showcased at least one mini. I don't think it was a Dreadball conversion. I think it was a new legit.
That was a new one.
It was a Marauder new, all cyberized.
Yeah.
And
I'm excited.
And I am too. We've seen cyborgs in Dreadball.
Yeah.
They were one of the newer teams with a second edition that came out like with the Matsudan and everything. And they always kind of have that really kind of creepy, like if you've seen the movie Virus or something like that, you know, they're the terrifying looking Borg.
They have that Maison Labs feel to them.
Mm-hmm. They really do.
If you look at Maison Labs, you have these lab techs and this crazy doctor, and all of a sudden you have plague. You have modified plague models, essentially.
Yeah.
That are part of the Maison Labs. So this is cyborgs? That's just the logical,
yeah,
medical next step.
Just, that's just science. Don't you know anything about science? So really excited for, yes, that announcement. You know, the mini command protocols, I think, is a real solid way to kind of keep moving things forward. It's a little bit stronger than an errata. Because, you know, they do some rules adjustments, but it does include, like, here's some new, you know, sometimes new models, sometimes new models, it's just new stats, rules. We had a lot of Defender Shield guys in the last one too for, yeah, other forces. So I'm pretty stoked. I think it might be a little bit before we get another full, containment protocols.
It'll probably easily be another year.
But,
at least.
But that said, like, I think this content,
giving us stuff.
Yeah, this is a good holdover
for us, which is awesome.
Yeah. Similarly, on the Dreadball side of things,
yep,
as you might recall, we had quite a few announcements from Mantic Day. Those have been expanded upon. They also,
I love how you do your homework and have everything scripted in front of you.
I had to. There was so much to cover this time.
At least one of us does it.
I didn't want to forget anything. But like with Dreadball, like obviously they have pictures of the painted versions of,
yes,
of their new coaching assistants.
So awesome.
they're so much fun.
I love the two Z's.
we got just a little bit more info on some of the scenarios and historical matches that are going to be in there. The one thing I don't know if they mentioned on Mantic Day, but this is going to be It's going to have a list of all of the teams and all of the updated stats for them as well.
So the teams will be set up like they've gone through an actual. So they'll all be upgraded.
Well, there'll be that for the historic matches. But what I meant was the whole team roster.
The whole team roster
is going to be in there. With you know, updates like the strong tail adjustment that was made for the sphere and all those kind of things. That's all going to be in there. So that's going to be really nice. I think that's a great way to do those kind of rules adjustments that have been out for a while.
Yep.
In addition, they also posted player cards for characters from The Last Hurrah.
Yes.
You could.
That is so cool.
You can play as, you can have the players of Leland and Victor Roth, the two brothers from the beginning of that book. And
which is awesome.
Which is awesome. And they've got them painted up and then their respective colors. I think it was even when Leland was still on the Trontex.
Yep.
So that's really cool. That's a fun show of support for the book. I mean, we've already.
It was a fun book, too.
It's a fun book. I mean, we've gushed on that a lot already.
Yeah.
But it's great to see that reciprocated in the game side as well. In fact, I think the Robert Waters actually painted up
repainted his guys to
the Vitala Vipers, which was great to see. He even customized some of his guys to make Brutus.
Yeah. So he's got Brutus on his
triple
team.
Triple B is I think he's a Grogan convict.
I think so. He's the convict.
Yeah. But anyway, that was really cool to see. In addition, I'm going to say that like a bunch of times.
In addition.
There is talk of a Dreadball spinoff game that's in it's codenamed as Arena Wars.
Yes.
Which is, they've showcased a new model, that's going to be in that. it looks like, almost look like a Yindage riding on top of a big beast.
Yeah.
It was sweet looking. But they're promising that that's going to be kind of an arena-based combat. You can see it looks like it's on the giant base that you see in Dreadball, the three-angle hex base.
It's one of those tough things because like I'm trying to remember what all they actually said
right.
versus what I've seen in the playtesting. We're a part of the playtesting group.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, can we say this? I don't think so.
Again, another reason I took notes.
Good thing.
But yeah, so you know, gearing up for the launch of the it's Magnetar circuit. I'm pretty stoked. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, and a great new flavor to Dreadball. It's one of those things like with Dead Zone, we can really play around with the scenario a lot. Yeah. Dreadball, it's still the game. It's still like very much a game. Like there's not much variety or as much variety yet. But I think we're going to see a lot more
tweaks,
a lot more fun, different ways to play. And so as a last big thing from their Mantic blogs, this one is much more recent and should be going out in time for the Mantic Hobby Hero. So this was a little contest that they decided to do. Basically, it just launched about a week from this recording. And it'll be, submissions will be due just a couple days from when this goes out. But basically they recognize that, you know, there are some members in the communities that have really been continuing to keep the game alive and really bring new players in, or even just, you know, celebrating the hobby.
A ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Posted on all the Fanatic sites, blog. There's so much.
So much people have done to keep this keep these games alive, and Mantic would love to reward those individuals.
Hobby heroes.
Yeah. So if you know somebody that kind of reflects that, you know, someone in your local game group that really has, you know, kind of been keeping things going, you know, like
has that drive,
keeps that energy, everything going. You know, there's a contact form. I'll make sure to link it in the notes. Where you can send your submissions into Mantic. They'll be, the deadline is January 31st. So get your submissions in. Basically, they kind of want to know who, obviously, and why. Like, there's a who and a why.
Why, if you have some pictures to show.
Yeah.
And then shoot it off. Now, obviously, hopefully Brian will have this episode out before the 31st.
Well, like I said, I try to get them out by, like, the 28th is usually when I get these out. So wanted to mention that just because there will be a little time. So if you haven't done that yet and you know somebody that really deserves it, you know,
get it in there.
Get it in there. It's always great to you know, reward that kind of thing. We do what we can on the show and you know, point people
we're
out.
We're usually a month behind, but we do.
Yeah. So the next thing I have on the docket is there's been a fan fiction challenge that's gone.
Oh, yeah. Golden Gamer.
Like I said, a lot has happened
this
since
December.
This has been
December. Kind of a crazy month.
Yeah. So there is a Facebook group called Ronnie the Bard of Mantica. Now, it's not an officially run group by Mantic, but our buddy Golden the Gamer from Warpath.exe, he actually just posted his episode a little bit while back. Another great one, and definitely go check that out. But in it, he also announces that they are doing quarterly fan fiction submissions in kind of partnership with the Windhazar Publishing. And so what it essentially is that they're going to provide themes, and then you have about 3 months to submit a story that kind of fits within that. And any part of the Mantic, you know, franchise, as it were, if it's, you know, Dreadball, Dead Zone, Kings of War, anything under the sun. And I believe the theme for this first quarter is endurance. What they're planning to do is to basically take all these submissions and put together, I think it's a top four or something like that. They're going to kind of put their favorite ones together in a little compendium at the end of the quarter.
Yep.
And then those are going to get published, or like from there, the favorites will get published in an ebook by Windhazar Publishing.
Yeah, a collection of short stories.
Yep. Yeah. So if you, I know we've talked a couple times now about, you know, creative writing in this space and expansions on the lore. So if you have a story to tell and this is the
place to do it.
This is the time. This is the moment. So you can hop on that Facebook group. Again, it's Ronnie the Bard of Mantica, which again will be in the show notes. And they have the rules. You do have to like sign a waiver and everything like that. But it's all for a good cause. It's great to see that the energy behind it as well.
And more lore.
Like stuff that people are gonna write for this. Very well.
It's going to go into the lore, most likely. I mean, you look at it as a big picture. This is your chance to add to the story of the universe. Mm-hmm.
And it could, hey, maybe you play through our campaign and at the end of the year, you're like, all right, I'm going to write about the... I'm actually working on my own...
Finger.
...submission to this. The thing I'm running into is there's a 10-page limit. And I'm like, so it's short stories, guys. You don't have to write a novel. But you could be writing the start of a novel.
That's true.
So check that out if you are so inclined. I think it's a great chance to see some more creative energy in this space and to kind of go from there. So next up. So that's a lot of the news.
Breathe, Brian!
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
That's a lot of the news.
Yeah. This is definitely one of those episodes that focuses more on what you've written on your notes, which is kind of nice for some of the listeners,
because right.
Some of them are like, wow, you guys ramble a lot.
You don't say. So I'm about to ramble.
Yep.
Because next up is our hobby section to talk about the things we've been working on.
Which you have been incredibly busy.
I don't know. So you may... like last time we recorded, and I think even when we were recording with John Jack, I kind of had that bug of like, I want better terrain.
Yeah.
For my gaming. I've got the Uncertain Scenery. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But I was finding that my Mantic components that I add on to that just...
Didn't have the look.
They didn't have the look.
It's kind of plain Jane.
They were plain.
A lot like mine.
And they were there were fewer and far between. Like, I only had some small pieces that I was really adding on. And I was like, man, I've got these buckets of terrain, and I want to start doing something with them. And so I did.
You did, and it looks phenomenal.
Oh, thanks. It's So what I did is I started with a 2x3 building that I wanted to also have an interior for. So I essentially made a Medi Center, like a little medical stop.
This looks so cool. The fact that it's magnetized, you have inside scenery.
Yeah.
And you have an actual paint scheme to all of it.
Yes.
For one, it all kind of matches.
Yeah. So what I wound up doing, so much of my stuff is dark and gray, and I'm like, I kind of wanted a little extra color. And so what I did is I went the other direction. I went white. From a painting standpoint, essentially what I did is I took everything. I put a lot of it together first, and then I sprayed it all black. And then I did, from more of a distance, I sprayed on white on top of that. And from a specific angle, kind of an upward down. And what that gives it is it gives it a very natural shading.
Yeah.
It almost comes off like cell shading in a way, like, because it is so stark of the black to the white.
Yep.
But it's a really fun and vibrant like look. And then on top of that, I decided to do some accents with red for the Medi Center. Interior has some blue in it as well.
Yep.
And so just to kind of give it that flavor of like, okay, these are going to be buildings that are pre-made, and I'm just going to color code them.
It's like,
all right, so red is for medical emergencies. And I went back and forth on that. Like, I was looking, it's like, man, green would be a really good medical one. Blue is a very common one. But so I went with red for the Medi Center. And then I'd actually, the next building I went and did was a little, I kind of had it as like a little diner.
Diner cafe kind of thing.
Yeah, just a little 1x2 building. And I actually had it built for quite a while, but I was like, okay, I'm going to actually finally glue some of these pieces together. I'm going to
get some color on it.
I made a own little custom banner to be.
Yep, which looks so cool.
Rainer's Pit Stop, because I'm a big StarCraft fan. and then I... Because I had them lying around, I had a bunch of the Dreadball Extreme pieces. And so I cobbled together a couple of those and made like a little like serving table and a little grill in the back with two burners that were just basically the crates that you can get just halved. glued them in and set that up. So painted that one orange just because I thought it'd be a fun combination of red and yellow. Which is a very common and popular foodery kind of color. And then lastly, I wanted to do some like small hab unit kind of things. So basically these people that work in...
Cheap apartments
where your indentured servants, I mean employees, work and sleep and
it's
stuff.
It's funny that the red player is the one that just said that.
I mean... I'm saying why these buildings were made, not why they should exist. Basically, I just kept this as a one by one cube.
Yep.
And basically it's two windows and then two walls. And what I did is I took Star Saga doors, because I had an extra of those. I snipped off the backs of one side and I glued them on to one of the walls.
Looks perfect.
Like, yeah, it fits really well. And then I also taken some techniques that I learned from Golden the Gamer.
Yep.
I included little, basically I trimmed some of the connectors, but I put them on the back. And so when these stack on top of each other,
they stay,
they got these little supports, that kind of keep the building in place.
So you also, going back to the first building though, with the hospital, you also did flooring in there.
Yes, I did.
you did a really simple cereal box.
Yeah, yeah. So I found it's like a sci-fi floor texture online. Put that into a Word document, scaled it up to be 3 inches, or 2 inches, 3 inches, 3 inches.
3 inches.
Math is hard.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. And I just did that, you know, in the 2x3. And then, ironically, my printer was out of ink. So I wound up taking color pencil to give it a little extra color.
Which it actually turns out really cool the way you did it with that.
It gives it, it kind of works better than a printing because it gives it a natural scuff to it. While still being very clean looking. Like you would want a medical center.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So that's kind of a different feel for my terrain is that a lot of what I like to kind of have is more of right before things go bad, right?
Yeah.
So many times we have the bombed out buildings and all that kind of stuff where when things have already, it went bad a while ago. I kind of like it when it's, you know, these were things that were just recently lived in.
Your stuff kind of reminds me of that whole, like, when you look at dead zone. So what creates a dead zone? Mm-hmm. So there's been an outbreak of the plague or an artifact. So the Council of Seven shuts down everything.
Yep.
That planet's pretty much deleted from the star maps.
Yep.
And it's just shut down and there's no communication with the planet. So you have these places that are real places with housing and restaurants and that end up being abandoned because everybody's fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Rebs come in and start scrounging around for stuff. Yep. You have Marauders show up scrounging around for stuff.
Or being on safari if you read one of those short stories.
Yeah.
That one's a really good short story. It's like the last one of the book. Sorry.
So Brian just made reference to Mantix. What was it called again?
It was the Dossier one.
Dossier, yeah, which is on the website. I think it's...
Yeah, it's a super cheap ebook collection of a bunch of short stories.
That's really worth it.
Really worth it, yeah.
To just give you more insight to the game. But that's kind of what your scene reminds me of, is that just before the ruined scenery.
Yes.
Like, it kind of makes me want to see if you have enough ruined scenery to make those exact three buildings with ruined terrain.
Ironically, I do not. I have some... I invested more in, I bought more of
the... We might have to look through mine and see if I have enough, because...
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
I think that would be really cool to do those exact same buildings, but ruined.
Yes, I think so,
too. With the same paint scheme, with the same flooring for the hospital.
Yeah.
That whole thing, and have the good, bad.
Yes, yeah. All next to each other.
Yes.
No, that would be a lot of fun. I think it's been neat to get into scenery and... I've been going through Pinterest boards and all sorts of stuff to see. Some people have been really creative. I burned through so many YouTube videos watching people put these things together, how to paint them and how to give them a little extra color and stuff. And so that was a lot of my winter viewing.
Yeah. Well, and you also got some more minis painted.
Yeah. So
you finally broke out of that bubble. To a good faction.
Breaking out of the bubble a little bit. Now, unfortunately, my Mandalorian Forge Fathers are kind of on hold for right now. But I've started to, with the writing and stuff being kind of the front and center of my brain right now, a lot of my stories focus on GCPS, Rebs, and...
Plague!
I wanted to finally get around. It's like, all right, these things are going to be in my story. I want a paint scheme that is going to be reflective of the one I'm going to have.
Yeah.
I'm trying out a couple ones. I didn't want it to be just that bubblegum pink, as it's often called. Yeah. But I did kind of like the violet nature of it. And I did like darker color, so like bone that is, it's almost scorched from the infection. So that's kind of what I'm going for. I'm playing around a bit with the colors yet. Some of my paintings have turned out like, that looks all right, and then some have turned out like, it doesn't look the way I want.
Back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing
board. Which happens to all of us.
Yeah. Thankfully, I do have a bunch more. I have so many leapers. I've got so many. I almost think I have as many leapers as I have zombies.
That really?
Yeah.
Because I have like 40, 50 zombies unbuilt.
I think I've only had like one pack of zombies. And then somehow I keep collecting leapers.
Well, you like leapers.
I guess so. They are going to be featured in the story that I'm working on.
So there you go.
So those are coming together in a neat way. And it is kind of nice to, you know, when I get back to demoing games that I have, hey, here's some of,
yes.
I got a lot more of the factions painted up.
Yeah.
That's been a big goal of mine.
It makes a huge difference.
It really does. And eventually I'm probably going to revisit my Rebs again. I think I mentioned before.
We talked about that one before.
Yeah.
Because your skills have increased for the last.
Yeah. Kind of getting back on that.
Yeah.
And spending time on it. And I still think you're ahead of me on that point by quite a bit, but no, it's been really fun to spend more time on a hobby. I think a big part is I don't, some of my schedule freed up more so after the holidays. So I have a bit more of an afternoon. And then my wife plays D&D, so I'm like, I'm just going to paint while I'm next to you.
Yep.
So
it's a good way to do it.
Yeah. What have you kind of had in the hobby?
So my hands have not been nearly as full as yours. So I went 3D printing direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had an FDM printer for.
Yeah.
So obviously a lot of scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just recently, I picked up Eligo or whatever it is, Mars printer, resin printer, and I've been printing minis. So it's funny because the more I print these minis, the more I actually personally want to do a Rebs team. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you go into that conflict of using alternate models for these games that, in my case, would be 3D printed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's good reason for it. John Jack is a perfect example of it. Yep. Because John Jack got his girlfriend into Dreadball.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted some cheerleaders.
Yep.
So he went on Hero Forge, sculpted up these male cheerleaders, which are so cool.
Yeah.
And then asked me to print them for him. So I printed them for him, and I sent him three. One was had a messed up leg.
Yeah.
But successfully today, as of recording, actually the third one actually printed off, and I'm going to shoot that off to him this week. But that's like that perfect add-on that you're not taking away from the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing when you go back and forth with the whole 3D printing your own models versus supporting a company.
Yeah.
And it's why I keep kind of fighting back and forth with myself on the whole Rebs thing.
Sure.
But it's, I also have every Reb model.
Yes.
So I'm not
you
necessarily taking away from Magic
yeah,
on that.
Yeah.
That's honestly the bulk of my hobbying for this entire month, if not two, really, has been 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe now I need to paint more Plague because of where we're going next.
Yes, for our next scenario might be a little bit bigger than we've been playing lately. But it's funny that you mentioned Hero Forge, because actually that's where I went to, because now this is kind of a late announcement for those of you that don't know, they have a painting tool built into their online 3D model thing.
Yeah, so which is a great way to test color schemes.
Exactly.
On how you paint. So myself, I've always, like, when I didn't know what I was going to do, I would shoot Jeff a picture of what I wanted, and he would do his magic on the computer and send it back to me.
Right.
But yeah, with Hero Forge, that app allows you really dial in the color that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if you do their membership thing, you can actually save those.
I think so.
I have a camera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can take screenshots and everything like that, for free. And, but no, I actually went for my story writing. I actually went and created all my characters that are going to have in there. And a lot of them are Rebs that I have models for already.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I want this version of them. I want to play around with the paint schemes a little bit.
Yeah.
And really kind of get a feel for, you know, who this character is. Obviously, there's still some limitations of that Hero Forge tool.
Well, definitely.
But it's been a really, like, I went through so many paint schemes on the Plague before I kind of settled on one that I wanted to try out. And that was really easy to do in Hero Forge. Definitely check that out. Like if you're a little stumped, like they have themes that you can just apply.
Oh, okay.
They have, I think a dozen, okay, themes both for skin and, I think they have fewer for skin, but clothing, they have at least a dozen schemes that, you know, none of them look bad.
And it gives you a direction.
It gives you a direction. Gives you a good starting point.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a favorite color, you'll be like, okay, here's the primary one. Boom. And then it'll give you some ideas for accents and things like that.
Nice.
So it's a really cool tool. And so if you're in a bit of a painting stump and you're ready to, you got a force, you want to get them on the table, you want them to look good, pop on over to Hero Forge and
see what they do for you.
See what it does.
John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
I think with that, the last bullet point I think I had on our agenda for today is we'd normally we don't talk about other games outside of the Magic brand.
Yeah.
But we did come across one. A friend of ours introduced us to.
Yep.
This game called Hardwired.
Hardwired, which is a miniature agnostic cyberpunk world.
Yeah.
Michael brought it over. I played. It's a cooperative game.
Yes.
So your villains come at this group of four,
mm-hmm,
in waves.
Yeah.
So it kind of has that old RTS feel to it.
Yeah.
PC games where you fight off this wave, you fight off this wave. But what Hardwired does is it adds that extra element of you have to do something in the middle of all of this.
Yeah.
And using the miniatures agnostic, we used, when we did it, a whole bunch of my enforcers as the bad guys.
Yeah. And I actually, I played a solo one myself, and I used Maison Labs.
Yep.
As the bad guys. It worked out really well, though I think I needed more basic models to. But the premise is basically you kind of have this small group of operatives.
Yep.
That have an objective on the board, and as they go, bad guys will be spawning in from the sides and whatnot. There's a really clever dice mechanic that I really enjoy, actually. You have basically a D6, a D8, and a D10. And you're looking to roll a 4. Like, 4s are just successes.
Yeah.
And a free move. And basically, you get up to 3 actions where you're using the dice to see if you complete those actions. Basically, you can, like, move a little bit. And you're like, I want to move more. I got to roll a dice, see if I get 4.
See if you can get...
And so you can only use each dice once in your turn. So
you
really
have to weigh that. You have to weigh that because, like, I really want to get over there, but
I really need to take that guy out first.
If I don't take that guy out, he's going to take me out. So do I shoot him or do I move? Mm-hmm. Well, I use the dice. Well, I'll use a lower one to move because that's not as important.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to make sure he's dead.
Right.
Which was a lot of fun things when I was playing the game with Michael, because it was turn 4. Is it turn 4 or 5? I think it's like 5 4. That the third size comes in.
Yes, turn 5.
So that's where we were at. And like, we're playing this, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing to this. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh no, we need to go now.
Yeah. The first wave of guys are fairly easy to dispatch. And don't pose as much of a threat when they attack you.
Yeah.
But then basically they have
that horde rule.
It is a horde rule, and their difficulty in the dice they get to use when they attack you increases in complexity as it goes. So it's a really fun mechanic, I think. And the reason we bring it up on this podcast is that we do kind of feel that it fits a really neat space that
between Dead Zone and Star Saga.
Yeah.
It kind of combines the two.
Yeah.
Also giving you that ability to solo play. Because obviously right now we're still in some medical issues because of the pandemic and everything. So people are still kind of keeping that distance, and you only might have one or two friends that you can hang out like we do.
Yeah.
But this gives you just another tool to use your Dead Zone and your Star Saga.
Yeah.
And our scenery works great for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
you had an amazing board set up using your Dead Zone scenery and your Uncertain scenery. That was awesome looking. Yeah.
It was kind of funny because I was like, oh, I just like barely have enough, because it does play on a 4x4.
Yeah.
And as opposed to the 3x3 or a 2x2.
2x2.
That I mean, math is hard, guys.
Vanguard.
It's 3x3. Yeah. Vanguard. But anyway, it is a bit more space to work with. But but no, it really fits well into that we're small operatives, but now we're trying to get away. You know, we've got a lot more guys coming at us. It's more open. Where Star Saga is that dungeon crawl.
Yes.
This is more a fluid and open, I would say. You can use interiors and everything like that.
Yeah, you have the dungeon style with the skirmish with Dead Zone. So this gives you that in between where you're not necessarily in a dungeon as a merc, and you're not a whole group of rebs.
Yeah,
going up against somebody, you're a small group of four heroes that you can have different types of guys. You can have the hacker, you can have the heavy gun guy, you can have the main, and their skills for those are really simple. Everything's really simple about the game.
It's intended to be something you could teach people in about 15 minutes, and you're ready to go. It's really lightweight on the rules. It's available on Amazon. For fairly cheap if you want the physical copy, or even cheaper if you want the ebook version of it.
Yep.
But check it out. If you're so inclined, if you kind of want that middle ground between Star Saga and a Dead Zone size matchup.
That, or you're sitting there looking at your Dead Zone with this.
And I'm realizing there was one more announcement that we didn't talk about. The Firefight beta is going to be starting sometime this year.
The Facebook group just went private.
Yep.
And the beta for the new, I don't know if they're going to call it a 2.0 per se, but I know that the beta is going to be coming for a new introduction to Firefight, which I know a lot of people have been asking about, calling Firefight and Warpath dead game. They're not dead. They're around. Mm-hmm. The community's actually been pretty active. I think it's funny because all week, all these vehicles have been popping up. Everybody's painting vehicles. I kind of felt bad because I haven't had the time to grab one of mine and go, oh, I'll paint some.
Right. I'm really low on, I only have the big vehicle. Like, I only have the I think the Hornet. I think I've got like two of them.
Two Hornets.
But I'm like, it'd be really nice to have a mule because then I can have it for terrain too. But I completely forgot.
So that'll be coming around. And obviously, Golden Gamer over on his podcast, he has a lot more in-depth version with the Warpath and Firefight.
Mm-hmm.
We're much more into the skirmish.
Yeah.
Which is, it's how it works.
But that's
going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that excitement back into this.
Yeah. So we got Firefight is... It might even come out this year, depending on...
That'd be really cool if it did. It depends on how the beta...
Yeah. We'll kind of have to see, because obviously if they can't get as much playtesting in, that's a big component. They want it to really hit. And that means, in some cases, taking your time.
And more playtesting.
More and more playtesting.
So if you're listening to this and have any desire, jump on the Facebook group and say, hey, I want to help test this game, because it really will make a difference.
We all want these games to succeed.
Yes.
There's, honestly, we never want any game to fail.
No.
From most games. But from most franchises. But like, you know, if it's something that people find joy in and entertainment and community, then by all means, we love to see them flourish.
Yep.
And so Mantic absolutely wants Firefight to take off running. And so to do that, they're probably going to need a little bit of help from you and I.
And everybody else.
Everybody else. So definitely keep an eye out for more news on Firefight. We'll try to keep you up to date as it comes, usually a month late. we'll try at least share posts and stuff, but we might not talk about it in the podcast right away. But yeah, so there's Firefight coming out. If you're so inclined, check out Hardwired. It's a fun cyberpunk game. There's a couple of expansions out for that already. Yeah.
I seriously have the urge to steal one of Tyler's lines and keep rolling eights, because you look like you just need to roll an eight, because you've talked the majority of this one.
I did have a lot of the notes.
Yes, you did. As it were.
But no, it's been so exciting to see all that news come out. And
bam.
it really was one after the other. And like I said, I've been working on a story. So like literally going to sleep at night and I'm thinking about, man, I wish I wasn't tired or had my laptop in front of me. Cause I'd write all this stuff down, but doing this, doing the campaign that we've been putting together.
It's been so much fun.
It's really, really coming together in a cool way. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy these games. And you know, if you have any your own, like
throw them out there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely spread the word and share it around. We love this creativity and the energy behind it. And
yep.
Look forward to an exciting 2021.
Yes, indeed. Because
This is the new year.
This is the first episode of 2021 as the podcast. Because we did the interview, but now this is our episode.
Yep.
Yeah. Seems like it was just yesterday that we recorded with John Jack. That's weird.
It was the beginning of the month.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. But so
math
so,
time, it's all hard.
Oh, it's difficult, but we're getting there. And so with that, everybody, you can have yourselves a great night. Thank you for listening.
All right, bye. One of these days, we got to remember to do the whole don't forget to like and share and comment.
Oh, yeah.
As part of that social media thing.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Because, like, we don't
do that.
I mean, that's kind of the whole, like, how you end a podcast is, hey, if you like us, don't forget to share and comment. That's what helps get us out there to other people.
Yeah, it usually helps.
And we have this opening thing where we just talk and then randomly say, hey, this is Rick and Brian from the podcast.
Yeah. Maybe we should,
add that
spread that out throughout, you know. Maybe we'll make our own little bumpers. It's like, hey, make sure to remember the show. And I just copy and paste it everywhere.
At least that way we'd actually know that it's in there.
Yeah. And hey, you know, some of the people earlier today got that really nice treat of watching us play one of these games on Twitch.
I feel bad. I don't know what I missed because it said it was recording.
Yeah.
And I should have looked in the file before, but...
It happens.
We're still learning the whole Twitch thing.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just fun.
I mean, there have been those times with the podcast that it's like, hey,
a whole
Rick,
episode of Brian.
I don't have any of your audio. It's just me talking to myself. Should I put that episode out or
sure, what? Sure, why not?
Good times.
Yep.